Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. So what about the podcast? What am I doing tonight? Tonight, we went with the second of three signature drinks at Buddy's Sodas, and we went with the strawberry soda. I'm surprised. I'm not gonna lie, I'm very surprised with how light this is, and I like it. I didn't think, I kind of went into this one thinking if it was kind of lighter, I wasn't going to like it, thinking, you know, a good strawberry soda's kind of got to be a little more thicker, and it's not as much as I thought it was going to be. It's okay. It's okay. To me, it tastes a little more cherry flavored than it does strawberry. So that's kind of weird. Yeah, Buddy Sodas, down in good old Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Like I said, this is the second of two Buddy Sodas. If you go onto the website, they got three signature sodas. They got the orange soda. That was the first one we tried out. Really like that. The second one, we're doing the strawberry soda. And then, obviously, since we've done the first two at some point, we got to do grape, as well. So yeah, like I said, Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. For those that listened to the last podcast that we did, the orange soda on Sleepy Eye, it's closest to closest to like New Ulm, a little more west of the Mankato area. So all things considered, like, I don't know what's going to do. It's a decent amount from the city. But definitely on my list of places to go check out. You can check out their website. It's just Buddy's, Buddys sodas.com. For their Buddy's Strawberry Soda, it says, Buddy's Strawberry has a taste so refreshing and can clean you can enjoy the taste of a rich, plump, and red berry all year long. They say a strawberry float or freeze served with a soda spoon topped with a strawberry or two is a delightful dessert. And I kind of like how they do that. Like I said, I like the taste of this. I don't know how I feel about it. It doesn't really taste strawberry to me. It's cherry, which I love cherry. That wasn't what I was looking forward to having tonight. I was looking forward to the strawberry soda. Man, I'm a little disappointed. I'm not gonna lie. A little disappointed. Unfortunately, I shouldn't say that. They do have social media. I did have my notes up. They have Facebook. That's it. They don't have, Instagram, anything like that, unfortunately. And it looks like right now they're having a sale, in their shop section off 25% off all of their clothing. So I urge you guys to go check that out. Like I said, they're right outside of New Ulm. They got some cool sweatshirts, t-shirts, bottle caps, and even like a little sampler, pack you can get, $20 for a 12 pack sampler. That's not bad at all. So yeah, like I said, go check them out. Man, this strawberry soda, gosh, like I said, I'm going to have to get somebody else's opinion on this. I'm going to go with a 5-2. Like, because like I said, like, I'm trying to be as critical as possible for you guys. I like it. But drinking this, like, it tastes a little bit, the more I'm drinking it, it's tasting a little bit more like strawberry. But I can't help but think part of that is because I keep telling myself it's strawberry and I'm not just drinking it. Like, if I were to drink, yeah, I mean, like, if somebody gave me this, wrapped everything around this can, told me to drink it, and when I was done with it, tell you what flavor it was, I would say it's cherry. So, like I said, gosh, being honest with you guys, it's a good soda. It's a good soda. It doesn't taste how I feel like a strawberry soda should. That's why I'm giving it the knock. 5-2. Yeah, that's what you guys got. So with that, Tommy Town, tonight, mostly sad news. The men's basketball and women's seasons all came to the close this last weekend. So yeah, without further ado, like I said, unfortunately, our number two CCHA ranked men's Tommy Hockey team this last week lost in a heartbreaking fashion by the number 7 seed Lake Superior State Lakers to end this season. But before that happened, for those that maybe didn't pay attention to the series, the men's hockey team was able to celebrate their first ever CCHA postseason win, which it was huge. Game one this last weekend saw the Lakers get ahead in the series 1-0 due to three unanswered Lake Superior goals. Game two saw the Tommies get their first CCHA playoff win in their sixth try, with two first period goals proving to be the difference. Oh, sorry, proving to be the difference. Friday night's was a 1-4 loss, and then the Tommies flipped the switch in game two, with a 4-2 win, and then, gosh, it's hard to even talk about game three. So game three was pretty back and forth, and like I said, it was. Yeah, let's just talk about it. So first period, Luke Leyland got the team on the board with a power play goal. Late in the first period, early second period, the Tommies have a 5-minute major penalty opportunity, and unfortunately, instead of scoring on that opportunity, they gave up a shorthanded goal to get things tied up. And then in the last couple minutes of the second period, Chase Cheslock was able to score his first collegiate goal to give the Tommies what would be their last lead of the 2023-2024 season. About halfway point through the third period, Lake Superior would tie the game back up. And then what seemed to be destined for overtime and big battle going on, Lake Superior was on one last rush and scored the game-winning goal with 6.6 seconds left. The Tommies ended up being, both their goals were power play goals. They ended up going 2-for-5 on the power play while killing off all three of the Lakers' opportunities. But yeah, a tough way for them to go, nonetheless. So yeah, you hate to see it happen, but like we've talked about with the basketball team, even with the football team too, they're not eligible for postseason play past this tournament, so take it with how it is. With that, Mr. Mac Byers, excuse me, the senior, led the Tommies this year with 13 goals. Right behind him, Lucas Wallen and Cooper Gate both had 12, while Liam Malmquist rounded out the only four Tommies with double-digit goals with 10. On the assist side of things, Ryan O'Neal had 19. Lucas Wall and Matthew Gleason both had 18, while Liam Malmquist was still up there with 17. And then for the total point scorers, Mr. Captain, Lucas Wall himself was the only 30-point scorer, Liam Malmquist finished with 27. Ryan O'Neill had 26. Matthew Gleason had 23. And then Cooper Gay and Mac Byers rounded out the, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players with 20-plus points, which is, excuse me, a pretty big deal. Last year, I want to say, the leading goal scorer had maybe 10 goals, and there might have been two of them. This year, they had more than that. I think last year, the most points anybody had was 18, maybe 19. And now they got, what did I say, six guys finishing in the top with 20 plus, or double digits, I should say, or yeah, 20 plus. Aaron Trotter picked up the advantage with 8 wins to Jake Seibel's 7. And then, what was that? Jake Seibel got the not in save percentage with his 923 save percentage to Trotter's 902, while Aaron Trotter's 3 goals against average was a little bit higher than Jake Seibel's 2.16. So, it'll be interesting to see what Rico Blasley does going forward with Aaron Trotter only being a sophomore, and Jake Seibel, being a junior. I would assume both of them are coming back. I'm not really sure if either of them have been drafted yet. You know, obviously college hockey, there's a lot of movement, guys transferring to get better playing time opportunities, leaving for opportunities, and things of that nature. So that's what we have on, the men's hockey team. It was announced earlier today, Noah Prokop signed a professional contract in the ECHL to play for the Toledo Wildlife. So congratulations to him. Can't wait to see what he's able to do out there, and we wish him the best of luck. So, sorry, moving right along, men and women's basketball. So before we jump too much into either of these, just wanted to show back to everybody and put this on everybody's radar because, March Madness is happening, people, and it will be starting before the next podcast. So ESPN.com, the main top black ticker, go all the way over to the right, click on fantasy. You want to click on men's tournament challenge. After you click on that, you're going to see dashboard, my brackets. Something's going to come up, create a bracket. You can do it that way and just search them, or, or you can, just click on the, search groups, type in the mini, should be the only one coming up, and it looks like we've already had some people getting in there, which is awesome. Once again, very much how many people we pay out with prizes, with merch and everything like that is going to 100% depend on how many people get in. So to maximize your chances of getting in, go sign up. You can do up to 2 brackets like we've done the last 2 years as well to help increase your chances. So yeah, go do that. I'm going to be super busy tomorrow, Friday. So sometime on Saturday, I will post on Instagram, a link to the group. So for those that are ESPN savvy, go on there, go do it that way. For those that may not be, keep an eye on the Instagram page. Like I said, sometime Saturday, we'll keep it up the entire time. I'll probably even do it for Sunday too, for Selection Sunday as well. Click on the link, get your brackets ready to go and filled out, as games will start Friday, or not Friday, Tuesday, the 19th. So, with that, the men's basketball team pretty much mirrored what they did last year in Summit League play. I can't remember if they were the 4th or 5th seed this year. They were, they got the 4th seed, hosted in Sioux Falls, the North Dakota State Bison, beating them in the quarterfinals 68-58, and setting them up with a date with this year's number one team was the South Dakota State Jackrabbits last year. It was Oral Roberts, who bounced us. But in the first game, it was, a good game. Very similar to the game earlier in the season. You could tell from time to time the Tommies were the better team. They sometimes played to the level of North Dakota State. It was pretty back and forth. St. Thomas actually had an incredible first half, pulling away late, taking a 20-point lead into halftime. But the Bison didn't go away, and actually outscored the Tommies by the score in 10 in the second half. Kendall Blue led the way for St. Thomas with 15 points. Drake Dobbs finished with a high of 3 assists on the team, and Anthony Raheem had 7 rebounds. And then, of course, the very next day, they had a tough loss once again to the number one seed. It's always hard losing. But losing to, the number one seed, never fun, but it's usually the team that was the best in the conference and are always going to be a tough opponent. The Tommies were able to hold their own in the first quarter, or in the first half rather, only down 3 at halftime. But then South Dakota State just kind of pulled away. In the second half, outscoring them 31 to 24. Tough to see it happen. But hey, always next year, as they say, right? Kendall Blue once again led the team with 13 points. Brooks Allen was right behind with 11 points, and then Anthony Raheem actually had a good game. He led the team with 9 rebounds and 4 assists and added 7 points to go with that in the relatively low scoring semi-final game. As for the women's team, they weren't as lucky as the men's team, but just like the men's team mirrored their performance last year. And I can't remember. I thought I had it written down. I must have forgotten to write it down. I couldn't remember last year. The Tommies, I believe, had the fifth seed last year, maybe the sixth seed. But they fell. They played against the South Dakota Coyotes and lost 70-57 the first quarter. They were only held to 5 points, and that just, man, that just came and bit them in the behinds. I mean, you take that away, that's a 23-point game. You take that first quarter away, and you have a score of, what's that, 52 to 67. So a little bit manageable. But it's always tough to go out by a big score. And once again, we've seen it time and time again, whether it's in the NBA, college, men's or women's, it's hard to climb back against a good team when you've dug yourself an early hole. And St. Thomas did everything they could. They only outscored the Coyotes in the fourth and final frame, but only by 3 points, and just wasn't enough. Amber Scalia would, excuse me, what was that? Amber Scalia would lead the Tommies with her 22 points. She was only one of two players in between both teams with 20 plus points. Jordan Glenn had a big game, 6 rebounds to go with 11 points, while Jade Hill led the team with 6 assists, and Joe Langben had 9 points. So, congratulations to the women, just like the men, on great seasons. And honestly, super excited and really can't wait to see what goes on and happens here in good old March Madness. Still, waiting on some updates or anything from the football team, but as of right now, nothing to report on. So with that, we will jump into our local business shout out. And this week, I'm going with a company that I've seen pop up quite a bit on my feed in based off of some of the groups I'm in on Facebook, and it's Threads and Co. In Champlin. They're a boutique, and they're located, like I said, right off of Champlin. If you're going northbound on 169, they're right on the crossroad of 169 and East Hayden Lake Road. And I've been hearing a lot about them. They're relatively new to the space, I know. Yeah, I didn't know a ton about them, but yes, they are a boutique in the Champlin area, and they have a lot of really, really awesome collections for women in the Champlin and Lakeville areas. It sounds like they have a location in their Lakeville area as well. They have they're not so much on the website, it looks like, but they have some new arrivals. They got some, some pullovers. They have some sets going on. But if you go check them out on their Facebook page, it looks like they're running some deals right now. If you ladies are interested, they're owned by two women, Meg and Jen. They started the boutique in 2019 and left their full-time jobs in 2022 to pursue their dream of opening and growing a small business together. They're excited to share their experience with you guys. You can get on their newsletter, and they're on Instagram and Facebook as well. It says Threads offers a boutique experience with clothing sizes small to 3XL in stores in Lakeville and Champlin. So go check them out. I don't think you guys will be I don't think you guys will sorry, I need to stop doing double negatives. I think you guys will be pleasantly surprised with some of that stuff. I was kind of looking through it with my wife, and she was surprised by what they got going on, and with how, her words, not mine, relatively cheap this stuff is. My wife told me there's usually some kind of connotation with boutiques, as they're typically higher end or expensive and whatever. But she was looking at some of these prices because she doesn't typically shop at boutiques, and she just kind of made the comment to me. She's like, I'd buy this stuff. Like, I'd go check it out. So go check it out. They have a Minnesota collection. They got new arrivals, the resort collection, all jeans, joggers, and more, all different sorts of stuff. So go check them out and let us know what you guys think. So I know, excuse me, I know in our professional sports section, we usually start off with the Wild and then kind of move into the Timberwolves. But we're going to do a little bit different tonight because we're going to attack this next section with our first question, which comes from Lisa. And Lisa wants to know, Jack, of these next two statements, what one do you have more confidence in? And then the two statements she gave me was the Wild to secure a wild card spot, or the Timberwolves to get the number one spot in the Western Conference for the playoffs. And I don't know if this is going to shock you guys or not. I'll be honest, I was very, very high on both of these teams for us this upcoming year. On paper, excuse me, I don't know what's happening here. On paper, this should have been great years for both teams. It has been a great year for the Timberwolves. I know if you look at the standings right now, they're technically in this third seed. They're technically in the third seed, but keep in mind, they're within, I think, what is it, a game and a half of number one. And they're only 67 games into the season, so there's 15 games left. Now, we're gonna get to answering your question, I promise, Lisa. But Both teams are sitting 67 games into the season right now. No, Wolves 66, Wild 67. 100%, I'm more confident in the Timberwolves than the Wild of making the playoffs. And not even your two statements. I'm 100% more confident of the Timberwolves doing better in the playoffs. I'm 100% more confident in the Minnesota Timberwolves' ability to lock down that number one seed than I am the Wild even getting into the playoffs. And personally, it frustrates me a little bit with how much more confident I am with the Wolves in this statement than your Wild statement, because it should have been a foregone conclusion that the Minnesota Wild were going to finish in the top three in the Central Division. It was just a matter of where they were. But God, they have just been. Their roller coaster has just been very up and very down this year. The Timberwolves, their roller coaster has been mainly highs. I mean, once again, you go back to what was that? Their first 25 games, they were 20-5. You have to go all the way. The season started on October 25th. You have to go all the way to January 3rd. January 1st and January 3rd. Games number 32 and 33 were the Wolves for the first time this season lost back-to-back games. Since then, once again, 66 games in, the Wolves have not lost three straight games in a row this season and have only lost two straight games. One, two, three times. Sorry, four times. Excuse me, four times. And truthfully, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season between the Wild and the Timberwolves on paper before the season started, who I had more confidence, I probably would have told you the Wild. Because in the past, the Wild are usually more of a sure bet, where the Timberwolves usually have a high ceiling, but they also have a very low floor as well. So there's just a lot more wiggle room. Whereas the Wild, yeah, they have a high ceiling, but their floor isn't all that bad. Like, with how much talent they have, they're at least going to finish in the middle of the pack. Even if they try, they're not even going to be close to getting a spot in the draft lottery, which sucks. And hey, you know, I hope I'm wrong, or at least half wrong. You know, coming into the podcast tonight after the win of the Anaheim Ducks, they've won 3 games in a row for the first time in a month. And that's the other part of it. Sorry, I should have said there were two parts. One, Lisa, the Timberwolves are just more the sure bet right now. They're more consistent, and I would say they're the better team in their league than the Wild are a team in their league. The second reason, the Timberwolves can control their own destiny. Like, if the Timberwolves can find a way, it can happen, but the chances of it are maybe, I don't know, 75% chance. They got some tough games and they have some easy games. There's a chance they go 15 and 0, or what's it? No, sorry. 16 and 0 and end the season. What would that be? 71 and no, 61. Yeah, 61 and 21. And Denver, LA, and Oklahoma City would all probably lose a game or two, and they can lock that thing in, winning all 16 games. The unfortunate part of the Wild, they do not control their own destiny. So that's part of it for me. The Wolves do, the Wild don't. You look at now, it's awesome. It's awesome. You look at their last 5 games: San Jose, Arizona, Colorado, Nashville, Arizona, Anaheim, all Western Conference teams. And they were able to pick up points in every single one of them and win 5 of those 6. Or all 6 of them, win 5 of the last 6. They still got a dog fight to go. We got St. Louis coming up on Saturday in St. Louis. That's going to be a tough game. They're trying to get into the wild card too. And then we got to take them on three games later at home. Then on top of that, we got Anaheim again. And on a back-to-back, we got Anaheim and LA, who LA is, you know, trying to lock up a spot too. They got Vegas another time. They got Colorado two more times. They got, sorry, Vegas two more times. Colorado two more times. So, and if you look at, so they gotta, if they can make these games count, like some of these teams that are ahead of them, like if they can make these games count and if they can quickly add on to this, and by the end of March, they got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If they can find a way to win 4 or 5 of them, they put themselves back in a position where in the final month of April, where you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games, you control your destiny a little bit in the sense that, all right, you won all these games in a row. You put yourself back in a position to, all right, let's breathe, take it one at a time. But the fact of the matter is the Wild, like I said, they do not control their own destiny. They could win out and they would still need help. I mean, St. Louis is playing well. LA is playing well. Vegas is playing well. I mean, Anaheim, for a team that's kind of out of things, is playing well. Chicago, I mean, everybody knows they've been eliminated, but Bedard's not going away, you know. Yeah, it's a tough go for the Wild, and it's really unfortunate. You look up and down this roster, you know, Kaprizov is getting hot at the right time, so, you know, he's riding, I think, what, like a 7-game point streak or something like that, so hopefully he can keep that going and get themselves back in a spot. I think at the conclusion of tonight's, let me double check, because I want to make sure I got this right for you guys. So at the conclusion of tonight's game, the Wild, like I said, have played 67 games, and then in front of them in the Wild card with the second spot is Vegas. Ooh, and they lost tonight against Calgary, so with an in regulation. So now with 73 points, the Wild are 4 points behind the Vegas Golden Knights, who still have a game in hand, and Nashville, who's also 67, but they're 7 points behind Nashville. So, you know, again, and St. Louis is right behind us with 71. You got LA a couple points behind Edmonton, trying to get, you know, playoff positioning, being one of the top two teams in the Pacific. You know, some of these teams they got going down the stretch here. You know, Winnipeg is currently in first place in the Central, vying for, you know, home ice advantage too. They got a game with them. Colorado's second. We got two more games with them. You know, so it's going to be a critical, you know, what's that, like what we said, 15, 16 games. But, yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. I would say, as confident as I am that I think the Timberwolves will work this out. Cat's going to come back. I think in the meantime, Ant and all those boys will be able to hold it down. Honestly, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be bold. Thursday, March 14th, late at night. I think the worst they do, I'm not confident in saying number one is going to be Denver or number one is going to be, Denver or OKC. But with how good all three of these teams are playing, I think the very worst the Wolves do is two, which is awesome, because then that puts them in a position where if it is OKC that has number one, they're a young team, so they can go up. Their chances of going up against a veteran team in the Lakers or Warriors, who just have more of that postseason veteranship, could potentially take them down, and could be interesting to set up if the Wolves were to make it to the conference finals. So, yeah, that's what we got for you today, Lisa, on that. So, yes, thank you very much for your question. Lastly, our wonderful and beloved Minnesota Vikings. You know, let's be completely honest. The Vikings have been busy just these last couple days. Obviously, everybody was hearing what a lot of people don't know. So yesterday, the 13th Wednesday, was the start of the new year. So when you everything you heard before the 13th, when they said they signed or are signing, all that means is they agreed to terms. They cannot, the Vikings, just like every other team in the NFL, cannot sign a free agent until the new year has started, and the new year starts March 13th. So nothing was actually inked until Wednesday. But I gotta say, so far I've really liked what we're doing, bringing in Jonathan Greenland. That kind of made me wonder, okay, is this to replace Hunter, or is this or is it to complement him? And then that happened. Signing what's his name? Blake Cashman, Aaron Jones, Sam Darnold, all these guys. But obviously, the big thing I think we're going to talk about here is the elephant in the room. Kirk Cousins signing with Atlanta, 180 million over 4 years. And look, I'm just going to keep it honest. I'm going to keep it honest and real with you guys. Seeing this decision from him made me lose respect for him, in the sense that I just see him in a different light, and he seems like a little bit too much of a, I'm going to say one thing and then I'm going to do a different thing. He very much seemed like, and especially after watching him in QB1 last year too. I mean, you kind of looked at this guy, if you were a Vikings fan that was, avidly watching and picking up stuff, good family man, genuinely wanted to be here in the long term. I understand the circumstance of him not really caring, like, hey, I know I'm 36, I know I'm coming off Achilles. I don't give a shit about that. I want, more than a 1 year contract. But at the same time, I've talked about this time and time again, Kwaisi and KOC, I think they are good for this team and for this organization. And ultimately, I think these two are going to bring a Super Bowl here. They are making moves that Spielman and Zimmer would never in a million years think to do, which makes me think they're the right moves. Yeah, so from the standpoint, I truly, truly, truly think Atlanta, like, I was talking with my brother, I was talking with a couple close friends, and Atlanta was desperate for a quarterback. That's why they gave him the money, because they were essentially in a position where they're like, look, we already got our guys, we got our running back, we got one wide receiver, we got one tight end. We just need a good quarterback and boom, we should be fine. Well, they still have a very lackluster defense for that too. So they were in a position where they were like, give us a quarterback and we feel like we can compete in our division, which they're not wrong. They're in a division with Bryce Young leading the Panthers, a bad Panthers team. They're in a division with Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then with, oh my gosh, why am I blanking? Oh, the New Orleans Saints, which is kind of a dumpster fire. So truthfully, I would say Atlanta and Tampa will fight for that spot. I think only one of those teams is good enough to make the playoffs, so there's just too much. I mean, you look at the AFC, I think the Jets with Aaron Rodgers coming back are a better team than them. I think, the Jets are too good not to make the playoffs. The Ravens are too good not to make the playoffs. The Bengals with a healthy Joe Burrow are too healthy to not make the playoffs. Cleveland, nah, I don't know about Cleveland. But even in the AFC East, Buffalo and Miami, I mean, right there, that's five teams that are just too. And then even Houston, so that's six teams right there that are too talented to not make the playoffs. So I think once again, the South is going to only bring one of those two. So yeah, I, being the man that I am, I wish him the best of luck. I never wish anybody injury upon them, but it is interesting, but I am very happy that we did not give him that kind of money. He is not worth that kind of money. And Kirk, once again, has just proved a million people that all he gives a shit about is money. He doesn't give a shit about loyalty. I mean, if you saw his, if you saw his, I'm sure it's going everywhere, and most of you guys have seen it. His, I want to retire a Redskin. I want to retire a Viking. I want to retire a Falcon. It's like, okay, let's see what happens after 1 or 2 years when you possibly get cut from the Falcons, and who signs you at this point. Like, I, and part of me honestly feels a little bit shocked too. Like, I was one of those guys that thought we would offer Kirk 28 max. We would come back and he would go. They'd say, he'd say, I don't want that. I want to see what else I can get out here. And he would find out these teams don't even want to pay him 28. He would find out most of these teams, not knowing too much about him, would be like, or his rehab would be like, we'll give you 20. Then he'd come back to the Vikings and be like, well, you know, I'm not really getting what I want. Can I take that? They will be like, no, we'll give you what these other teams are giving you, and let's just, you know, screw it. But like I said, the Falcons were desperate and they made it happen. And we got to move on now. One thing I think it's kind of simmered off a little bit. Sam Darnold is not brought in to be our man. Sam Darnold is brought in to be something of a veteran presence in our quarterback room. For whoever we inevitably draft in the draft. Because let me paint this picture for you. Before Darnold, I guess Dobbs, but Josh Dobbs is 29. Jaren Hall is 25, and Nick Mullins is 28. Those are the only three guys we had on our roster. Now, you can say what you want about Josh Dobbs and Mullins being a veteran presence. Mullins has always been a backup quarterback, and Dobbs has always been a backup quarterback. Darnold at least brings into our locker room a little bit of starter in him. Now, look, is he a Kirk Cousins? Is he, you know, game changing? Is he gonna be our savior? No. He is a halfway decent quarterback to where if we draft a guy, whether even if it's Caleb Williams, and he's just struggling for whatever reason in OTs and stuff like that, like if your guy you want starting by the end of the year is struggling going into the beginning of the season, you have enough faith in Sam Darnold to at least go out there and compete and try to get you a couple of wins while he's getting acclimated. And truthfully, guys, I'm not kidding here. Look, I know the division kind of got a little bit better, a little better, a little quicker than we were anticipating. Outside of the division, based off of how we finished last year and who we're playing this year, there are a lot of teams at this moment. Like, there's a lot of things that are going to happen before we end up making our predictions and everything like that. But I look at some of the teams we have to go to, like going to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is a beast. I'm not super worried about the Jaguars. Like, that's not a team that is going to beat you down every single time till Tuesday. Rams certainly aren't going to do that. And who else we go to? We go to Tennessee. Tennessee, I don't think is a great team. They lost their running back. Then we go to Seattle, which Seattle is pretty comparable to us. You know, and I'm not super worried about them. And the Giants, I'm not worried about them. So that's five road games that I don't think should be much of an issue outside of our division. And then you even look at the thing about the great thing a rookie quarterback has for us being a Viking is we play in a very hard to a very in a venue that's very hard for opposing teams to win. And so regardless of how good he is, we make it tough for other teams to win just with how loud we get. And teams that are coming here, Arizona's coming here. I don't think Arizona poses much of an issue, no matter what they do this offseason. San Fran. Sorry, I don't know why I just had a brain fart there. San Fran will probably be a little bit of an issue, because but Houston, good team. But they got young guys on it. Indianapolis shouldn't be that good next year. And then the Falcons, who I think we are a better team than, especially on the defense side of ball. And then the Jets. So, I mean, I would even say, okay, we probably won't beat the Jets, Aaron Rodgers and everything like that. And then maybe not the San Francisco 49ers. But other than those two teams, I just named off one, two, three, four outside. So right there, I've already named nine games that are very easy for us to win this upcoming season, or relatively easy for us to win. So I'm not all that worried heading into this stuff. And truthfully, I've said it before, I'll say it again. In Kwaisi and KOC, we trust. Like, they're still young into their tenure, guys. Like, give them 5 years. They came into a lot of silly contracts and stuff like that, like with Thielen. We're going to sign JJ. JJ just wants a little bit of certainty with what's going to happen at the quarterback position, which I do not blame him. No, we're not trading him. Anybody that tells you we should consider it is an idiot and doesn't really know football or doesn't understand how to run a team. We would never trade Justin Jefferson. KOC and Kwaisi are going to make this guy happy. He's going to be in the room with him, making this decision for our quarterback of the future. So don't sweat it. Come 2, 3 months from now in June, July, when we've already drafted our guy, we're going to have a little bit more peace of mind. We're going to see this team at work, and we're going to be raving about the fact that this team is going to win the 2024 Super Bowl. So, guys, I'm going to leave you here tonight with remember this podcast about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are @miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's MINNYWEEKEND@gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where you can, there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.